Shabbat Shalom. This week we read the words, who will live and who will die? Who will reach the ripeness of age and who will be taken before their time? Who by fire and who by water? Who by war and who by beast? Who by famine and who by drought? Who by earthquake and who by plague? Who by strangling and who by stoning? Who will be calm and who tormented? We are so fragile. We don't like to think about this. Yet during this season, we can't help but think about our vulnerability. And we are vulnerable, though we spend most of our lives resisting this truth. In the face of this unsettling and stark reality, we shield ourselves in countless ways. We try to assert control over the narrative, even though we cannot. But nonetheless, we fight with one another about religion and politics. We push and pull to achieve more, get more, do more. We order our personalized coffees, asserting even that small bit of control. No, I don't like cow's milk in my decaf latte. It must be unsweetened coconut milk, no foam. We try to distinguish ourselves, and perhaps this is a direct response to our vulnerability. We want to make a name for ourselves, to overreach beyond death, to leave a sign that we were here. We make a power play reflecting our importance, our centrality, our sheer aliveness. We are like children, standing on a table, jumping up and down and yelling, "Pay attention to me! I matter!" And maybe these defenses are responses to the incomprehensible and existential truth that we are mortal. It is impossible for us to understand death. It is a line in the sand from moments when we are to moments when we are not. We live and then we are gone, and we cannot comprehend why. What is the meaning of it all? We seem to continue to ask this all the time through the ways we plea for attention. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have the time to dwell on this question and really let it in. We allow ourselves to be open and vulnerable. And from this humble stance, the rabbis teach us that there are three actions that we can take in response to our existential vulnerability: teshuvah, repentance; tefillah, prayer; and tzedakah, acts of justice. These three actions help to rid us of all the clutter that impedes us from being aligned with that which is most important: deep connections with others, compassion, and chesed, a deep loving kindness. So first, we can do teshuvah. Teshuvah is often translated as repentance, but it really means returning to our innermost selves. Think about how it feels when you get a glimpse of what your deepest truth is. How does it feel to earnestly express feeling sorry or to take in another's heartfelt apology? When we touch base with our inner core of humility, it can be profoundly freeing. We are no longer distracted solely by our own egos and desires, and instead, we can be more present to others. In the end, what else do we have but these invisible webs of connections? Teshuvah reminds us to relate to one another with honor, mutual respect, support, compassion, kindness, and even love. Second, tefillah, or prayer. Prayer is really communication. Tefillah comes from the root, which has the meaning to cut oneself open. It's a visceral way of speaking about opening ourselves to our inner cores, stripping down to our essence, reaching beyond our visible world to something that connects all of life and all of time: God. And finally, tzedakah, justice. Judaism urges us to pursue justice, feed the hungry, fight for the dispossessed, constantly strive to leave the world in better shape. When we do this work, we become aware that we are not in this world solely for our own good. We are responsible to one another. Helping others gives meaning to our days and has the potential to continue our legacy beyond our lifetimes. Through these high holidays, we ponder the meaning of our lives, and we do not do this solely as individuals. None of us is alone in asking these questions or in pursuing the three modes of response prescribed by the rabbis. We are not alone. Rather, we examine our lives, pray for the ability to live closer to our ideals, and perform acts of love and kindness together with our community, just like every Jewish community has done throughout time. Together, we acknowledge our vulnerabilities. And there is something healing in that. It reveals a kernel of truth, that the meaning of it all has to do with making the journey together and continuing to ask the question. There was a rabbi who was never at synagogue during the time of Selichot, a service dedicated to prayers of repentance that starts the season of the High Holy Days. The townspeople were sure that in trying to help their community, their rabbi must have gone to heaven to plead their cases instead of coming to shul to conduct services. A scoffing stranger from Lithuania overheard the townspeople. He did not believe them and laughed at the naivete. He decided he wanted to find out where the rabbi really went. So the Litvak secretly followed the rabbi. He saw him dressed in peasant clothes walking into the forest. Then he saw the rabbi chop down a little tree and cut it into logs. Then the rabbi hauled the wood over to a poor, sick woman in her hut. The rabbi built a fire for the sick woman, all the while praying for and with her. When the Litvak returned from spying on the rabbi and joined the townsfolk, he once again heard them say that the only reason their rabbi missed coming to synagogue on Selichot was that he was flying to heaven to plead on their behalf. This time, the Litvak did not laugh. Rather, in response to the idea that the rabbi journeyed all the way to heaven, he added, almost reverently, if not higher. What is the meaning of our lives? We find the answer in doing. Doing teshuvah, realigning ourselves with our deepest values. Engaging in tefillah, allowing ourselves to be humble and open to connection with that which is greater than ourselves. And pursuing tzedakah, running to do acts of justice. And in doing so, may we orient ourselves towards cultivating connections with compassion, kindness, and chesed. Shabbat shalom.